Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I am the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. And we say good morning to each and every one of you today. And I want to say good morning, of course, to my precious co-host. You know, my sidekick, the one that is my would ride or die girl. Yes, that's who she is. And I just thank the Lord for her and the blessing that she has been in my life since day one, Mm-hmm. You know when God divinely puts somebody together. And so I do thank the Lord for this woman of God. Please help me say good morning to my co-host, Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, precious.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, beautiful. Good morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. What a wonderful, awesome day it is. I'm looking out the window right now as I'm in my office. I'm looking out the window, and we see what? We see rain. We see cloudiness. We see, like, it's dreary. It makes you just want to go back and get in your bed and just curl up like a fetus. In your bed at the moment, and I'm probably going to do just that once this once you know this show is over, because I'm just struggling. I'm struggling right now, y'all. I'm struggling right now, but I'm gonna get it together.
Oh my goodness! I tell you, God is good. God is good. And you know when you were saying that you were sitting in your office and, you know, you could see this, that, and the other, and you said you could see a couple of times. You know, you can see it's raining, it's dreary, and so forth. And each time you said that you could see, and I said, thank you, Lord, she can see. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
She can see. It's something to give
Amen.
God thanks. We
yes,
woke up
yes.
this morning, and we can see. Amen.
Yes.
I'm telling
Amen.
You so. We want to be thankful, grateful for what God has done for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And, beloved, I tell you, I've said it before, if you start at your head and go down, you know, your head, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your sense of feeling, you know, your shoulders, your back, et cetera, just go completely. And thank God for each part of you that is operating correctly. Thank him for it. And then those parts that are not operating correctly, thank God that there's another opportunity, another day for God to still manifest his healing virtue in your body. So we do have a lot to be thankful for, no matter what condition we're in. So we say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. So good morning, good morning, good morning. With our morning roll call, good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Anita Nelson. Praise God unto you, Lord. I mean, beloved, good morning to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Nikki too. Good morning to you, beloved. Good morning to Lord have mercy. Rob in Pennsylvania, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, and in Chicago. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Chicago. And good morning to all of the New Vision members that come online. to listen to our show and support us. Good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And while I am thinking about it, please let me announce that Tamika Shelton has started her own show. Again, she's back on the air. She is back on the air. And we want to thank God for that. And prayerfully, we'll have her give you the time and the call-in number before we are finished here today. We'll have her give you the time and the call-in number. But she is back on the air, so we praise God. We praise God for that. Amen, amen, amen. Well, beautiful, it is time for you to take us to the throne room. Take us in to meet our daddy this morning. So go right ahead, beloved.
Amen, 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 amen. Good morning to each and every one of you all. Thank you again for joining us. Thank you again for your support and just showing love. You know, coming here every Saturday for an hour to, you know, spend some time and get some healing when you come on here every Sunday. I mean, sorry, every Saturday. So we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. We love you all, and we just, you know, want God. We just want God to be famous. So using this platform is one of the ways that people in other countries may get to hear what it is that we are sharing. So we just want to thank God for this platform and other platforms where we are able to share with the world who God is without, you know, being censored. So we just thank the Lord. We just thank the Lord. And again, we thank you all. Continue to be the one that calls in. Continue to be the one that shares the information that we share with you all. We thank you when you comment. We thank you when you, you know, you press one on your keypad. And, you know, sometimes when we're on here by ourselves, those of you that join us and help us out at times, we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. And we do not take it for granted. We do not take it for granted. So to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Prince of Peace. Thank you, the great I Am. Thank you, Alpha and Omega. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you, Lord, that you woke us up. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to see. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, no hurt, harm, or danger came near our doorstep. Thank you for covering our family. Thank you, Lord, for being wonderful and awesome and loving and fun. Thank you, Father God, for creating us. And thank you for who you called us to be. Lord, I know sometimes we take things for granted because we want things the way that we want it to be. And Father, right now I'm just asking for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I'm asking for forgiveness, Lord God. Lord, we turn away from those things that our flesh calls us to do, Lord God. And we repent right now in the name of Jesus. We repent in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing us to die in our mess, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing us to die in our disobedience and our rebellion, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you had your hand on us, that you watched us, that you dispatched the angels on our behalf, Lord God. Thank you for creating that light when we were in a dark place, Lord God. Thank you for allowing the light to shine that we saw our way out. And, Father, you are great and mighty. You are great and mighty, oh God. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the Spirit that lives within us. And so, Holy Spirit, have your way, have your way, have your way. Holy Spirit, touch the innermost parts and heal the innermost parts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Lord God, that our prayers don't fall on deaf ears. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for the hard times, oh God, that you pulled us out of. We thank you, Lord God, for the times where our bodies experienced sickness and disease, oh God, and you healed us because you died on the cross for that. We are already healed, so we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you promised us because it's already done. So now we say thank you. We don't have to beg you for it. We don't have to plead our case, oh God. Hallelujah. Jesus died just for us. He died so that we could be set free. We are set free in the name of Jesus. He did not die in vain. He died with purpose. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that your will is done. And that's the thing. We have to accept your will. We have to accept your will for our lives. And we will see all the blessings and all the rewards and all the promises come to pass when we accept your will and surrender to who you have called us to be. And so, Father God, we again say thank you. And we lift up, Lord God, the people that are going through, Lord God, that are going through the hurricane that the people that have experienced the hurricane in Florida and now in South Carolina, Lord God, Lord, we lift up those people, Lord, as I saw some of the videos, as I saw some of the videos of houses being swept away, Lord God, you know, of people underwater, God, sharks, Lord God, were swimming down the street, Lord, Lord, we pray for these people, Lord God. We give them to you now. We thank you that your hedge of protection is covering them, Lord God. God, we just pray that you wrap them in your loving arms, God, and you make a way. Lord God, you provide a place of shelter in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God, that the things that they lost, oh God, that they will first rejoice over the fact that they did not lose their lives, Lord God. And then they will rejoice over the fact that you were with them when they were in that very dark moment, oh God, because I know this is a very dark moment for those people that have been affected by this hurricane, oh God. I know it seems like a dark moment to them. But Father, I just thank you that your peace, your love, even your joy, God, will bring them back, oh God, that they won't go into a depressive state, Father, in the name of Jesus. And the things that they lost, oh God, that you, Father God, will replace. Hallelujah, that they won't have problems with the insurance company when they're trying to get their stuff replaced. Father God, we just say thank you. We say thank you, or we say thank you. We say thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I tell you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father God, I tell you, every day we realize how much we need the Father, how much we need him every single day. And I do thank God for his grace and his mercy. And in those things that are happening around us that we don't understand, that we sometimes we don't see the hand of God in the midst of it all, but know that he knows. He knows exactly what's going on and exactly what he's doing about it. So, again, we do thank the Lord. Thank you, beloved, for the prayers. Thank you. The prayers of the righteous avail much. And I know that you are a righteous woman of God, and therefore I expect much to come from those prayers. I expect answers. Praise be unto God. I expect them to be done. So we do thank you, Lord. We do thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Well, while thinking about it before we get into our lesson, let me let Tamika, Honey, press one on your keypad, and let me let her come on and tell you about her show and when it's coming on and the number to reach out to her with. So let's do that. Good morning, daughter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am blessed. Praise be unto the Lord. And you sound good. Praise the Lord. You sound
good. Oh, good, 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 good.
Yes,
thank you.
Ma'am. Uh-huh. So tell us the exciting news.
So the exciting news is that I restarted my radio show last week. I think there are still things that need to be said and put out in the open. So I restarted my show. It is called Living Powerfully. You can find information about the show by going on to blogtalkradio.com/IAmLivingPowerfully. Saturday mornings right after this show. So I definitely didn't want to get in the way of Heart to Heart because I think that's a great lead-in to my show. And the call-in number, if people want to call in and listen, is 515-602-9715. Again, that's 515-602-9715. And it's called Living Powerfully. Again, blogtalkradio.com/IAmLivingPowerfully is the way that you can find it and be able to follow along online rather than calling in. Thank you so much for your encouragement and for being able to announce it.
Amen, amen. Give me the number again, please.
602-9715.
Okay. Had to put that in my phone. All righty. Okay. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you so very much. Praise be unto God.
You're welcome.
And thanks to God, I encourage you. I totally encourage you to listen to her show. She is the most transparent person that I know, shares from her heart, life experiences, you know, that she goes through, others that she talks to. Trust me, it will be another well-spent hour, another well-spent hour. So I do encourage you to call into the show and listen to her, call her up and encourage her, and just do the way you do when you're here. Praise be unto God. And it was interesting when she said that she thought Heart to Heart was a good segue leading into her show. And when we first met, and Patsy Anderson gave me the hour behind her show because she felt that her show was a good segue and leading into my show. So we compliment each other on both ends of that. You know, we compliment each other on both ends. Again, you know, I wish you the very best, darling. Excuse me. I wish you
the very best.
And I know that God will continue to bless you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All righty. All righty. You're welcome, honey. Okay, folks, we are going to pick up where we left off last week in dealing with how there was hope for the parents of prodigal children. There was hope for them. And, excuse me, you know the story of the prodigal child in the Bible where he wanted everything that his father was supposed to leave. He wanted his inheritance. And he convinced daddy to give it to him. Father gave him his inheritance. He went out in the world. He squandered the inheritance using the money for wild parties, drinking, women, whatever it was he wanted to use money, the money for, and he got to the point where he was broke. He was broke. And he came home. He said, you know, he was eating with the pigs. And mind you, he's a Jewish fellow. And he's eating with the pigs. So you, if you know anything about the Jewish religion or faith, that pork is definitely something that they do not deal with. And he said that he'd rather go home and be a servant in his father's house than to be out in this predicament. So he came home, and the father welcomed him. The father welcomed him. So a prodigal child is a son or a daughter that leaves their parents' home to do the things that they did not, that the parents did not approve of while they were there. But then they sorry about it, and they return home. They return home. And all I won't say all of us have experienced that, but and definitely not to the degree that this child was a prodigal child. However, I was just thinking, as I was looking at that definition, I was just thinking about my grandson Daniel. And when he was younger, I remember when he was very displeased with the rules of the household, and he decided he was going to run away. And so he packed his clothes. His mother held the door open for him so that he could leave. So he left, and he went around the corner to a friend's house. He went around the corner to a friend's house. Honey, believe me, in less than a week, boyfriend was coming back home, begging, could you please let me come home, Mommy? I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking about. You know, so for a week, you know, he was a prodigal child. He was a prodigal child. So it didn't have to be as devastating as this child in the Bible. And you'll find that story in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. But he didn't have to go to that extent. But he was prodigal. You know, he didn't approve of the rules, and he left so he could be on his own and do what he wanted to do. He was a young teenager when he did it, but that's part of being a prodigal, part of being a prodigal. Okay, so we discussed some of the reasons why a child may stray, the reasons why, and of course, you know, the first one just mentioning in the definition is that they don't approve of the rules and regulations that they have to live under. They are seeking growth and maturity. They figure that they are old enough to do what they want to do, and they want to experience these things on their own. And so they strike out, you know, to prove that they are grown. They also are seeking freedom and searching for some significance in their life. It's natural, and all of us, as we come from adolescence to teenagehood to young adult, all of us probably have felt that we knew more than our parents knew, that we could figure out some things, that we wanted to be the ones to make the decisions about what it is we're doing or not doing and so forth. And, you know, like even when you obeyed with an attitude, you know, I'm grown. I know I could do this. And so forth. I don't need her to tell me what to do. You know, yet you obeyed her. But our heart and our attitude was such a negative place. But that's because we're stretching. We're coming out of the cocoon. We're metamorphosing. We're growing. We want to experience, you know, the things that we feel that we should experience. At this point, we say to the parents, please, do not feel like you were a failure. You were not a failure. Our children get to the place where they do make decisions on their own, and they have to be accountable for those decisions. They have to be accountable for those decisions. Beloved, would you go ahead, honey, and share with us what it is that you have on your heart at this point?
Ma'am, I was laughing when you were talking about Daniel and, you know, mm-hmm. wanting to leave. Because Chris, you know, my son did the same thing when he wasn't pleased with the rules. He always had this thing about he would get his this little suitcase with a handle and it had wheels on it, and he would, you know, put his stuff in there and call himself mm-hmm. leaving. And mm-hmm. what was in the suitcase was his game, his little gaming system. Like, okay, sir, you're running away. Where are you going to plug that up and play it? Like, really, where are you going? And it used to be so funny. He had no clothes in that suitcase. It was just a gaming system by itself in that suitcase. And so we still laugh at that to this day, because every time he would get mad, he would grab that suitcase and call himself leaving. And then I just got to the point, you know, bye, I'll see you when you come back, because, you know, where are you really going to go? I mean, I know you got friends in the neighborhood, but do you really think their parents are going to allow you to live with them? No. So I'll see you when you come back. And, you know, it just used to be the funniest little thing, because they think they know everything, and they don't like your rules. And that's the part of that perceiver that we, you know, that we have shared with the spiritual gifts. That's part of being a perceiver. It's like when they don't understand something, you have to basically show them, because trying to explain, it's like they don't get it. You have to basically show them what it is and why, you know, why they can't do this, or why they shouldn't do this, or why they should do this. You know, it could be very mm-hmm. draining if you haven't studied your children's gifts to know, you know, oh, hey, that's what that is. It gives you peace. You know, when you know your children, mm-hmm. yes, and when they start acting a certain way, you'll know how to better deal with it, because you can say, you know, that's a part of his or her spiritual gift. And I know that I have to do ABC so that they are getting what they need to be successful. And that's why Apostle shares so much about the spiritual gift, because it's very important to their growth, you know, spiritually, even physically. It's very good that we know what our children's spiritual gifts are, so that when they're acting a certain way, we won't always say that they are bad, or, you know, the yeah. negative labels that we put on them. We just have to know how to streamline and walk them in a different way. So I wanted to share, yes, amen, I wanted to share that part. And then, you know, when it comes to the prodigal, there are other influences that may cause them to, you know, go in the opposite direction. It may cause them to not want to be in your house anymore. And it could be because they could be convinced that their parents are toxic. And it could be a fact mm-hmm. that their parents are toxic, and they don't want to be in that. So they want to get as far away from that household as possible. And so we just have to make sure that the household, wherever it is that you're living, you know, who you're living with, you have to make sure that those type of things are beneficial for your child. Children don't know how to deal with stress. They are already dealing with school and what goes on in school, and then when they have to come home to another stressful atmosphere, they don't really know how to deal with that. And so if you have a household that's chaotic and there's always fussing and fighting going on, there's never enough food, whatever it is that's going on, these things do affect our children. And it's also good that they see, like if you're married, it's good that they see healthy marriages. because, again, this will determine whether when they get older, if that's going to be a thing for them. So if they saw an unhealthy marriage, they're going to feel that that's what marriage is about, and they're not going to want to have any part of it. So we just have to be careful about the other influences. Then it's other children. Other children in school can try to direct their path, try to lead them the wrong way, try to cause them to be rebellious. And so we always have to have conversations with our children about how was school. We have to ask questions. And some kids, they hate when their parents ask them a whole bunch of questions, but you got to get creative with it because you got to know what's going on in your children's lives. So if it's a game that you play where you kind of like ask questions, but they get a prize or something, or they get you make their favorite meal that day, something, we have to be creative with these kids today, because we have to know what's going on with them. We have children, talking to our children. We have children or other kids that are talking to our children about drugs and sex and, pulling them in dark places, because this is the type of stuff that they see in their own homes, that they're around all the time. And so, they try to pull our children into it. And so that's why the conversations, having conversations with your children, letting them know, like, hey, no, this is not what we do. This is unacceptable. Try to ask about the conversations that you have with your children. What is it that goes on in school? What is the teacher saying? All of that stuff. All of that stuff matters. And it could even be where sometimes children see in school where the popular crowd, and they look and see all the attention that the popular crowd gets. And so they try to figure out a way how to fit in with the popular crowd. And so they may want to have the latest Nikes or whatever pair of tennis shoes, a brand name bag or whatever it is, nice clothes, whatever it is. These things influence our children. And when it seems like it's not going in their direction, they'll try to figure out how to get it on their own. So that is another, please forgive me, that is another part that will, other influences, other children, our home life, those things can affect our children negatively. Apostle, is there anything you want to say?
Yes. As you were talking and looking at the different things that influence our children, there's also the time when we are dealing with them that we have to deal with them with tough love, and dealing with the tough love, that is saying no to them no matter what it is, when they're going through, let's say you have a child on drugs and you have been given the money and you have been letting them come and go as they please and so forth and so on. There's a time when you have to say no. And as a parent, that may be hard to do. This is your child. This is your child. You don't want your child out in the street and being homeless and so forth. But yet, it is a time when you can't let them be codependent on you to take care of their needs, always during this time. There's times when we have to help them out. There's times when we have to say no. And it may not look right, it may not feel right to you, but it's something that you have to do. Tough love is about addressing truly harmful behavior. It's about you becoming confident in how you're dealing with your child and learning to accept what it is that they're going through, yet you be grounded. Because you're the one that's given this tough love. You have to be the one that is grounded. You have to be the one that set the boundaries and stick to those boundaries that is set. And believe it or not, as tough as it may be, this is about you showing compassion. You're showing the fact that you love them enough not to want them to stay in the predicament that they're in the place, you know, where they are. But understand, the tough love thing is not one size fits all, that what you do for one, you do it for the other, and so forth and so on. There's got to be different ways in which you're handling each of your children, and it's not done for punishment or any form of revenge. It's not done for that. It's not done to manipulate or have control over your children. It is not that. That is not what it's for. And it is not an easy thing to do. I know I've had to counsel many parents through a tough love situation, and they can be tough in front of their children, and they come back to me, and then they're crying, you know, that like Apostle, this, you don't know how hard this is. You know, I hate doing this. I couldn't stand hearing her cry. I couldn't stand hearing him, and he's begging me. And there's nothing worse than your child begging for help. And you find yourself in a situation that you know if you do what they ask you to do, you're helping them stay in a condition that is going to be devastating to them. It's going to be very devastating to them. So you have to do another way where the child may think that you don't love them, but it was the best thing that you could do for them at that particular time. It was the best thing that you could do. So, again, you know, looking at practicing the tough love when need to be. In all of this, beloved, in all of this, and I can say this because this is, you know, a Christian radio show, don't forget to lean on God. Lean on God. Lean on him. God's word is our encouragement to be able to be steadfast and immovable in situations like this. It is only the love of God and the word of God that we have to hold on to. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." As Christians, our hope can't just be in some good thing that might come to pass. We have to cling to the hope with certainty that God is sovereign over all and that he loves and cares for our children. We have to hold on to that. I know that in all of the situations I've dealt with as a mother and a grandmother, and then even as a pastor that nurtures the flock so that my parishioners, the sheep, they become my children to me. They become my children. And each and every one of them, and again, going back to my own children, that sometimes it was hard to wait on the Lord. It was hard. I did get weary. I wanted to give up at times and so forth. But when I look back on the word of God, I gained strength to hold on. Lord, I don't see in my natural eye this thing working, But in my spiritual eye, Father God, I see the promises of God. I see where you said that thus and so would come to pass. I know that you hear my prayer, and I know, Lord God, that you are concerned about anything that concerns me. On Philippians 4 and 6, the word says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Known unto God. Sweetheart, it says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. And who of us, which one of us has never been anxious? We all have experienced the anxiety of relationships, the anxiety of coping with everyday life. We've all experienced it. But as we get to know God and as we begin to mature more spiritually, we find it easier to let go of certain things and just hang on to the word of God. God is telling us through his word to release our worries to him and have faith, learn how to trust him to respond to those things that we are praying to him for. To learn how to, to trust him to do that. God is faithful, saints of God. He is more faithful than we will ever know. But thank God, we will know how faithful he is. We will know how faithful he is. And so I pray that every time you find yourself in a situation dealing with your children, dealing with your spouse, dealing with anyone, you know, that you learn how to depend on God. You learn how to depend on God. And again, that is so very important. In this also, we have, the different parenting styles. When Tambika was saying, about your children, and getting to know your children's gift, and because you have to raise them all in a different manner. You could have the same rules. Okay, let me say that. The same household rules, but your way of dealing with each one of them may have to be different because of their gifting. And so you have to learn their gifting. You have to learn their love language. And it is so important. You have two children, and one child's love language is spending quality time with them. That's the one child's love language. The other child's love language would be they like words of affirmation, words of affirmation. And let's say your love language as a parent is gift giving. Now look at this scenario. You're a gift giver, okay, and one that likes to receive gifts. Your one child, let's say that's your daughter, loves to spend quality time, with her parents. And then let's say the boy likes words of affirmation. So here the parent is raising these two children, trying to treat them both the same, and the parent is a gift giver. So he or she constantly is giving gifts to these two children. And your daughter, more than the gifts that you've given her, wants to spend time with you, cuddled up someplace talking with you, you and she going shopping together, having dinner together, special day, just for you and her. That's what's important to her, not all the gifts that you've given her. And that son of yours, he wants to hear you say, boy, you did a great job. You did a good job in cleaning up your room. You did a good job in coming home on time. They want you to affirm them. They don't care about the gift that you're giving them. That's not it, you know. It's looking at what it takes for them to feel that you hear them, that you see them, you know, and this would help for us not to have long-term prodigal children, because they do realize they're being heard. They do realize that they are being seen, that someone is caring about them. Now, in the parenting style, we have many, at least four different parenting styles. Excuse me. We have four different parenting styles. So we do treat people differently according to our parenting style. You could be the permissive parent, okay? One that gives a child the authority and permission to do almost whatever it is that they want to do. You give them that permission to do that. There's the authoritative parenting style. Authoritative, you know, I said for you to do this, this is what I mean for you to do, and that's it. And excuse me, I'm so sorry. You know, so that's it. You're very authoritative in what it is that you're doing. There's the one that is, I just forgot the third one. The third one. Oh, my God. I forgot what it was, y'all. Forgive me. But there's a neglectful parenting style. You can be very neglectful. You can be very cold, very unaccepting of your child, very unaccepting. And so you deal with that, you know, and you deal with your children in that manner. And a lot of parenting styles, believe it or not, comes from the way that we were treated as youth and young adults. And one of two things happened. There's only two ways this is going to flow. You're going to do what your parents did, or you're going to do the opposite of what your parents did. You know, that's the way it goes. You say to yourself, I will never treat my child the way my parents treated me. I will never. And then you find yourself overcompensating, going in the opposite direction, overcompensating. And a lot of that is where you'll find the permissive family. If the parent was raised under a very authoritative home and very strict home and so forth, this parent is determined they're going to give their child freedom and liberty, you know, to say what you want. You make decisions. Even at a very early age, and let me say this. I remember, you know, when my children were young, when they were adolescents, when I made dinner, what I made is what they ate. Okay, what I made is what they ate. By the time my children were old enough to have children, it was. And they got more than one child. Honey, what do you want to eat? And then to the next one, and what do you want to eat? And I've seen them make two different things, you know, for the children to eat. Well, that would have never happened in my household. You know, what I make is what you eat. You know, but then at parents giving children a choice of what they eat at young ages. And when I say young baby, I mean, you know, 3 and 4 years old. And, of course, you know, now different things that I understand, their children have sensitivity issues with food, and the certain foods they can't eat, they get upset about eating it and so forth. I do understand that. But before I understood a lot, you know, I was amazed at how many different meals I could see on somebody's table at dinner time, because you're making meals, a different meal for everybody, you know, so a totally different way. So maybe you know, the children, the parents there didn't like the fact that they had to eat what was placed in front of them, whether they liked it or not. So I'll give my children the choice. So you can see how it can go different ways there. Beloved, is there anything you want to add into this?
Yes. the different parenting styles, yes. Those things also play a part in who your child becomes. You know, mm-hmm. we've heard how children talk about when, you know, because their parents were in the military mm-hmm. and how, you know, in their home, it was almost like the children were mm-hmm. raised as if they were in the military as well. Like mm-hmm. there was no love, you know, as far as physical, you know, hugs and kisses. And mm-hmm. it was like authoritative. It was demanding. It was almost as if they, you know, were in the military with their parents per se, right there beside them when they were going through their training and the things that they experienced during, you know, when their parents were in the military. So, you know, I've heard, and then the fact that it's always they moving from this state to another country or something like that. And so, you mm-hmm. know, those things play a part in your child's lives. Like every parenting style that Apostle mentioned is basically like it's the foundation, the structure of who your child will become. The biggest and the most thing that we have to show our children is love. That's the biggest thing. They have to know that they are loved, because when we as their earthly parents don't show love, then they question God's love. They question they question if God really loves them. They question everything about God because they didn't get what they needed from their earthly parents. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's so many things that we don't know when we become parents. It doesn't come with a training manual. It doesn't tell us to do A, B, and C. You know, when we talk about when we're talking about raising our kids in the Word, and you know, taking them to we're finding a ministry for them to be a part of. It's still so much that comes with that. It's not that cut and dry. It is not as easy as it sounds, because we still have to have some understanding of God's word. You know, we train up the child in the word of God. Yes, we do, because that's mm-hmm. in the Bible, and that's what it says. That's what we are supposed to do, because then our children, if they do stray away, they'll come back, because they have something to come back to. But if we've never given them that foundation, it's like they don't know where to come back to. And, you know, we may have people listening. We may have people that come back to listen to this show. And listen, everybody, this is not to make you feel guilty or ashamed. This is basically to help you. Even if your children are grown, you can still help your children when it comes to God and his word. However, they're still going to make their own decisions. But the thing is, now that you know, you shared. And that's all that you can do. You can't force them to, you know, you can't force them to believe what you believe or follow God. And you can only give them the information, and what they do with it is on them. And that is, you know, there's still hope. There is still hope, even when your children are grown and they are prodigals right now. All you can give them is what you have as far as the word of God. You know, that's all you can do, and you can't force them. And you just continue to pray, and you just continue to believe that God will turn their hearts and they'll come home. And that will prevent you from being worried and stressed out. To God be the glory.
Amen. 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 Just real quick here, we only have a couple of minutes left. I just want to read something here to you. Looking at authoritative parenting that's in high demandingness or high responsiveness, the authoritative parent has high expectation for achievement and maturity, but they are also warm and responsive. These parents set rules. They enforce boundaries by having open discussion, providing guidance, and using reasoning for their children. Their disciplinary methods are confrontative, they're reasoned, they're negotiable, they're outcome-oriented, and they're concerned with regulating behaviors as opposed to forcing behaviors. The authoritative parents are affectionate and supportive. They respect their children's autonomy. They provide them with a lot of freedom and encourage independence. The children of authoritative parents tend to appear happy and content. They are more independent. They are more active. They achieve higher academic performance. They develop good self-esteem. They interact with peers and use competent social skills. They have better mental health, less depression, anxiety, suicide attempts, delinquency, alcohol, and drug use, and they exhibit less violent tendencies. They are securely attached. So that's the child of authoritative parenting. Now, the authoritarian parenting, again, now this one here is high demandingness, but low responsiveness. Remember, the authoritative parent was high demanding and high responsiveness. High responsiveness. The authoritarian is high demandingness and low responsiveness. The authoritarian parents and the authoritative parents, they have similar names. They have several important differences, though, in their parenting styles, their beliefs, their demands, and their approach. The authoritarian parent demands blind obedience using the reason of because I said so. Because I said so. There's no discussing the matter with them. It's because I said so, that is the way you do it. So that only leaves a one-way communication through strict rules and orders, and any attempts to reason with them is considered backtalk. So these parents are stern disciplinarians, harsh punishment, such as corporal punishment. Now, this type of parent is the one that Tabika just mentioned with the person that's in the service. In the military, that person would be an authoritarian person. Corporate punishment, you do it because I said so. You're forced into behaving in a certain way. They're domineering and so forth. And so children of this parent have an unhappy disposition. They are less independent. They appear insecure. They have low self-esteem. They exhibit more behavioral problems or conduct issues. They have more temper tantrums. They perform worse academically. They have poor social competence. They are more prone to internalizing behavior and mental issues, and they are more likely to have drug problems, and they have worse coping skills. And the permissive parent is low demandedness and high responsiveness. They set very few rules and boundaries, and they're reluctant to enforce rules and regulations. So the children of these people cannot follow rules, have worse self-control, they have egocentric tendency, and they encounter more problems in relationships and social interactions. And the last one is the negative parenting, low demandingness, low responsiveness. Negative parents do not set firm boundaries or high standards. They are indifferent to their children's needs, and they're uninvolved in their life. And so the children of these parents are more impulsive. They cannot self-regulate emotions. They encounter more delinquent behavior and addictive problems, and they have more mental issues, such as suicidal behaviors in adolescence as well. So those are some of the ways, you know, your parenting style can affect your children. Knowing that also should help us, and most of us on this line that I can see, most of us are probably grandparents now, and we are able to help our children and understand as our adult children why they do what they do, how they do it, and help them along the line with parenting their children. It is not too late. Turn to God the Father. Turn to Him, and you will find out that things can change. There's nothing impossible with God. Well, okay, beloved, look, we've overrun our time. Tamika's show comes on at 10, and again, her call-in number is 515-602-9715. And call in, give her some support today. Today is her second show. Give her some support and take care. We love you. Thank you again for joining us. Tabika, thank you, my love. Thank you and all that you do here. And have a great weekend. I'll see you tomorrow in church.
Amen. And don't forget to tell them about the prayer walk.
Oh, yes. We have a prayer walk coming on October the 8th. That is a Saturday. We are doing a prayer walk. We will be in the Catonsville area on Roberts Avenue. It's where we will be. First of all, let me invite you, and we can give you more information about that next week as well. And you'll probably see it announced on Facebook and so forth. But now, because of the prayer walk, we will not be having a show on next week. We will not be here at 9 o'clock in the morning. So you get a chance to sleep in for a little bit. If you decide to come and join us, that would be great. But, again, we will not be on the air two weeks from now. We will not be on the air. So we'll announce that again on October the 1st. Oh, it is next week, right?
Yes, ma'am, the 8th.
The 8th. Oh, my God. Okay. It is next week. It's on the 8th. So we won't be here next week. And, again, we'll have information put out on Facebook where we will be. So you take care, saints of God. Have an awesome, awesome weekend. We love you, and may God bless you and be with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as He does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that He bestowed upon them. them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.